Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning, Mike.
Looks like the Congress passed the $1.9 trillion COVID relief budget or relief package. More free money coming to people.
The American Rescue Plan.
Here it comes.
Got to have that good title, don't you, on those bills.
It's all about the title. But I think it bears repeating that the stimulus that individuals will receive with some restrictions, $1,400, that's free money.
$1,400, that's correct. So in the American Rescue Plan, they allocated $410 billion, with a B, dollars for stimulus checks. And each individual making up to $80,000, married individuals making up to $160,000 are eligible for these direct payments. And you mentioned $1,400, non-taxable.
Right.
So same as your previous payments that you've received, the $1,200, the $600, now we got the $1,400 mm-hmm. payments, but that's all going to be tax-free money that you not need to worry about reporting on, next year's income tax return when you go to file.
I don't want to take you off your rails here, but a question listeners might have is the second stimulus, if people didn't receive it mm-hmm. and they're preparing their taxes now, what should they tell their tax preparer?
Yeah, so if you haven't received it yet, there's a way to take a credit on your mm-hmm. on your return. So certainly make sure that I got an email actually yesterday from one of the CPAs that I work with. Hey, did your client happen to get the first stimulus check? Because this has happened to be someone that died before the second one
came out.
But remember, we talked about how there's this reconciliation process mm-hmm. relative to the first stimulus check for deceased individuals who had to send that money back but now can take a credit for it. Same thing on the second one. So if you haven't gotten it yet, that's certainly something you need to talk to your tax preparer about or make sure that you're taking that credit in order to get credit for that stimulus money.
And does the taxpayer merely have to say to their preparer, I didn't get it, or do they have to provide proof? And what would that proof be?
Yeah, I mean, you obviously don't want to double dip, because if you double dip, you're going to get dinged. So you want to make sure that you didn't receive it. And, certainly the CPA can look up and see through that tool online whether
IRS.gov.
Or not that's been done IRS.gov. Mm-hmm. So that's one way to kind of check and make sure. But certainly, be truthful, be honest, and make sure that you're not trying to double dip there to try to get an extended benefit. So we mentioned $1,400 direct payments, non-taxable. $246 billion in this particular plan, Mike, was allocated towards extended unemployment benefits. So you might recall that under the original House version, they wanted $400 a week in unemployment benefits, and the Senate version said, let's dock that back down to $300 mm-hmm. a week for extended unemployment benefits, and this lasts through September 6th of 2021 with these enhanced unemployment benefits. What's the key on these? They are taxable. So that's kind of one of those rude awakenings that a lot of our listeners may be getting, especially for payments received this past tax year, because maybe they didn't realize that the unemployment benefits are taxable in nature, and now all of a sudden they're getting a little kick mm-hmm. Because they're realizing that they're going to owe some tax for this particular year they weren't counting on, because maybe they weren't clear on the taxability of the unemployment benefits.
So stop there for listeners that aren't experienced with getting unemployment checks. If for the first time it happened to them perhaps last year, is the 1099 coming from the feds, or is it coming from the state?
Should be coming from the state.
Okay.
Yeah, so state administers the plan. This money that we're talking about, this extra $300 per week that's in this American Rescue Plan, is just a federal addition to your state unemployment benefits. So that's the way that it works.
And that's a 1099-G? Is that a mm-hmm. G for state? So if you're preparing your taxes and you got unemployment last year, you need to include that statement.
Yeah, make sure you get that statement first.
They were supposed to be mailed out by January 31st, and if you didn't get it, you can go online and request it or download it there.
Exactly.
At the state level.
Correct, right. State level.
NCDOR.
That's exactly right.
Okay.
$143 billion allocated to tax credits. And the big one in this particular case is the expanded child tax credit, Mike. So I have a child due in 2 weeks. So here we go. This is right up my alley as far as the expanded child tax credit goes. This is only good for 1 year, so this is kind of important for our listeners to hear. They passed this, but only funded it for 2021 because this has an this program would cost over $100 billion for each year they decide to extend it, if they decide to extend it. And so what happens is, Mike, is that normally the child tax credit was $2,000, and let's talk a little bit about tax credits versus deductions.
Mm-hmm.
So deduction is reduces your income that you're paying taxes on. So we always talk about whatever your tax rate is, that's really what you're getting when you get that dollar of deduction. So for instance, if you're in the 25% bracket, for every dollar you're able to reduce your taxable income by, boom, you're getting 25 cents on the dollar.
Mm-hmm.
Credits, dollar for dollar reduction in taxes.
One to
so
one.
These are big.
Yeah.
1-to-1. That's exactly right. You look at what you owe in tax, and if you have a credit, you reduce that amount of tax owed by the credit that you receive. So the way this worked before is that we had a $2,000 child tax credit, $1,400 of which is what we call a refundable tax credit. So that means even if you don't owe tax, or you owe tax only to a certain extent, you get a check back from the government because that's a refundable tax credit. So that was the prior rules that we have. Now under this American Rescue Plan, we're going to up it to a maximum of $3,600 per child under age of six. For any child that's age 6 to 17, we're looking at a max of $3,000, but fully refundable tax credits. So fully refundable means that if you owe no tax, this is money from the government that you will, in fact, receive. So the other kicker of what they've done in this particular case, Mike, is they've made it monthly payouts starting in July, and that's only for half a year. So July to December, you actually get a monthly check if you have children that meet this criteria. So, for example, if you have a family and you've got two children under the age of six, that'll be me come a couple weeks, you're due $7,200 in child tax credits.
Wow.
Okay, $7,200. So what the federal government is going to do in July is they're going to send you $600, because if you do 7,200 divided by 12, that's $600 a month. So for the whole rest of the year, July through December, you get a check from the government for $600. Is basically a preview of your refundable child tax credits, the best way for me to say it. And of course, you'll reconcile all of this when you file your taxes for 2021.
Huh.
Now, here's the kicker. Phase outs.
So
phase outs are going to be single $75,000, married $150,000. So that's when you start phasing out of these particular tax credits. However, you still can take the old tax credit of $2,000 per child up to single $200,000, married $400,000. So the idea behind this is that Congress wanted to allow low income families to get relief based upon the amount of children they have, and obviously increasing the refundable nature of this particular tax credit, and just increasing the tax credit in general. So,
a lot of
money on the table.
A lot of money on the table, and we know that the tax laws, they change, they oscillate, they go up, they go down. But this, is this in the foreseeable future, these rates? I mean, could you say like next, I know you don't know, but I mean, just based on experience, 2022, 2023 could be about at the same level.
I was reading the article about, this, and read several articles about this plan in preparation for the show. And the last line was these credits don't tend to go away.
Yeah.
And that's kind of one of the big things that I think you need to take home as a listener is that once something gets put into the tax code, even if it's for a year, such as this enhanced child tax credit, these things don't tend to go away. Politicians need to get elected.
Mm-hmm.
And, one of the big things they can say is that we're putting money in your pocket.
Mm-hmm.
And, this is a plan that I think the Democrats decided needed to be included in this American Rescue Plan, since there was no Republican support for this. And they control what? The House,
the Senate,
and the presidency.
Right.
So if they want to extend this, they will certainly try to find another way to make it go past just 2021. Or maybe there can be a compromise. Who knows? I know this one didn't get a compromise, but maybe these numbers aren't what the Republicans want, but maybe they agree with the principle that there should be some, an increased refundable tax credit for low income families. And maybe they can come up with a number that everyone can live with, so to speak. But, that was the whole we're going to be bipartisan and not just ram through, such as this bill that we're looking at right here.
I'm thinking of that reality show Family of the Druggers or the Druthers. They had like 20-some kids.
I know. That's the kicker.
They need an accountant just to get this thing straight.
That's exactly right.
Any talk and movement on moving back April 15th as the tax day? I know Oklahoma and Texas are because of the deep freeze they had. I think they went back 2 months, but that doesn't affect us here in North Carolina. Any talk about that, moving it back, or is it still
push? So, again, the Ways and Means Committee are still pushing very hard through letters and correspondence to the IRS saying, you need to push this back. You need to push this back. And the Treasury keeps saying, no, we don't, no, we don't, no, we don't. So, again, for our procrastinators that are out there, the Treasury's kind of staying firm with what they want to do, and they want to continue to keep the IRS tax deadline for your 2020 taxes April 15th. They're getting a little pressure put on them, and it's not going away. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see if there is some movement there. I don't know that we'd get the movement to July like we did last year.
It was extreme.
But I could see them maybe delaying by a month or something.
What are you
like
advising
that.
Clients at Harvell and Collins to do with their taxes?
Certainly. Try to get them filed as soon as you can. And remember, if not, there's that extension that's out there that you can apply for. So
give Andrew Foster a call at Harvell and Collins, 252-726-9050, or go online to harvellandcollins.com. Thank you, Andrew.